The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Agile Brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of The Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. Welcome to our first March Madness episode. And in the spirit of this, today we're going to talk about the customer journey and experience in an industry that has one of the highest velocity of transactions, yet with very little differentiation between brands. The iGaming industry, which includes sports betting and online casinos, is often looked at as a commodity product or service with little differentiation between brands. Incentives like bonuses of free money for gambling wear out. As we know and talk about a lot on this show, for brands to create a difference, they need to create a better user experience, deep personalization, and relevancy. Yet, with the high stakes and high volume of customer interactions, traditional retailers, financial service providers, and others can learn from the marketing in the iGaming industry. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Pini Yakwal, CEO and founder of Optimove, a platform ranked number one by Gartner for multi-channel marketing journey orchestration. Pini, welcome to the show.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this topic with you. Why don't we get started with you giving a little background on yourself? I know you're a returning champion here on the show here, but for those maybe a little less familiar with Optimove, give a little background on yourself and as well as what the platform does.
For sure. Happy to do that. So my name is Pini Yakwal. I'm the founder and CEO of Optimove. I live, thrive, and survive in Tel Aviv, Israel. Spent a few years in New York City. And basically, I started Optimove and run it till today. We are the first customer-led marketing platform. It means that we help brands to focus on their existing customers and foster better relationships, you know, personalize customer experiences to ultimately maximize customer lifetime value. We do that with a mix of a lot of data pipelines and data capabilities and data science, together with the art of marketing. So all of the good things you do in the channels, the email, the push, the SMS, the web, all of those things together. So it's this one very powerful platform. And close to 500 people in the company now, backed by Summit Partners in Boston. That's us.
Nice. That's great. Well, yeah, and congrats on all your success. And we'll talk a little bit about the Gartner recognition as well, which, you know, huge recognition there as well. But I wanted to start with talking about the iGaming industry, and, you know, we're going to talk about the industry itself, but also, you know, I think there's a lot here for others in other industries to learn and pay attention to, just because of some of what makes that industry so unique. So why don't we start there? And, you know, what do you think makes iGaming unique as an industry as opposed to some other industries like, you know, retail, financial, healthcare, stuff like that?
Yeah, for sure. So I think obviously, you know, the gaming industry is an industry in which essentially there's quite a few characteristics that I think make it into something we like to call CRM marketing heaven, right? So there's a few things, right? The first thing is essentially the product itself in many aspects, you can claim that it's commoditized. So if you need to bet on the Chiefs versus the 49ers on the Super Bowl, you can probably achieve that in FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, Caesars, you name it, right? The essence of the product is roughly commoditized. Of course, each one of them would claim that they have a very nice product and the way you do parlays and this one is much better than that one. That may be true, but the essence of the product is very much commoditized. And if you look at if you want to, in fashion as an example, if you want to get something for a specific brand, right? Let's be extreme for a second. If you want to get a Gucci bag, you're only going to get it from Gucci, right?
Right.
So what that creates, it creates this idea of if I'm a gaming brand, part of my ability to actually differentiate and separate myself from others is by using smart, sophisticated, personalized marketing. So that's I think one of the aspects that make the industry interesting. The second one is the velocity, right? The velocity of interaction, consumers, players interact, especially kind of like during NFL season, obviously, during the entire NBA season, playoffs in March, you got March Madness. I'm just talking about the US. Obviously, this is a global phenomenon. Every country with their own sporting events. Of course, if you expand that across to different types of casino games or poker or things like that. So it's a very high frequency, high velocity type of an industry. So there's a lot of things to say and to talk to the players about, right? You can... there's always something to say, right? You know, players bet on this game or that game. The games come with content, right? So you can, in your marketing, you can use, whether it's gossip about, especially sports betting, right? You can use a ton of content. In poker, you can teach players how to play. So there's so many things to say, so many different types of what we like to call conversation starters that would ultimately become a very creative campaign or a very creative journey. So that's the second part. And the third part is, this idea of bonusing and promotions in gaming. You can do a lot with bonusing and promotions, more so than you can do in retail as an example, where it's an actual physical product. So in gaming, in many cases, when you give players more bonuses, so you can see, on the Super Bowl, right, you need to deposit $5 and you get 200 matchup, something ludicrous like that. So that's too much, right? They call it in the gaming industry, they call it generosity. That's too much generosity. And obviously it's because the market is like still in land grabbing type of a phase in the US. So people offer crazy money. But even without that, if you offer a bit less, probably a big portion of that money is going to come back to the operator. So they can play with the bonuses and generosity concepts much more than in other industries. Ultimately, those three things together create a very potent, a very lively, and a very, very sophisticated CRM marketing landscape, which we, play at and do a lot in.
Yeah. And so, so we're recording this right after the Super Bowl. The show's running in March. So you mentioned March Madness. Wanted to talk a little bit about that since it's, probably going to be top of mind for a lot of listeners here in the States when the show airs. So March Madness is a time where there's definitely a spike in online betting. What can these iGaming companies do to optimize this opportunity when they know the spike is coming?
Yeah, I think it's similar to, preparation to any type of a big event, just like in retail that they do towards, it's a bit different, right? Black Friday and Cyber Monday or the holiday season. But ultimately, the art itself, remains the same. You get to understand your customers. We always say start with the customer. So do like a very deep analysis and research on your customers, discover those different personas, those different archetypes, and then you have ways to delight them, right? So if you work like this, March Madness is just another time in which you maybe tweak and change your marketing a little bit. Obviously, you need to find the people who would actually respond to that. They like basketball, then they like college basketball, that they like the kind of like a knockout, you know, feel into those into the specific NCAA tournament. So you need to, you can find those players who would appreciate it the most. You can find, we look at things like, you know, favorite teams and you know, who we have different recommendation models that would recommend kind of like the games that you're probably interested in. And then like even within the game, like through the game, we typically, you know, do a lot to basically entice players to do things. It's called in-play betting, right? So today we have this cool capability of, we can get statistics from the game. So let's say, I'm going to use an NBA example, right? But let's say Steph Curry just scores. I think he just scored 11 three-pointers about a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's say he scores, you know, 5 three-pointers in the first quarter. So the, you know, the second he scores the fifth, you can send players who are fans of Golden State or have a specific stake in that game of, let's say, Golden State versus the Bucks. In real time, after he scores the fifth three-pointer, you can send a push message to all the players who are interested in that, saying, hey, Steph Curry just scored his fifth pointer in this game. You know, when he does that, there's 80% chance the Warriors are going to win. You know, make your bets. Yeah. Think about that as a marketing campaign. How cool is that? It's real time. It's based on real time content. You know, you may be watching the game and you're like, I just saw that fifth three pointer and I'm getting a message about it.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Or, you know, you're not watching the game, but you're interested in the game and you learn about it from FanDuel, right? Or from BetMGM, right? So this is the kind of stuff that we like to do.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that makes this industry so interesting. And, you know, those that work in other industries, you know, it may not be quite as fast-paced necessarily as, you know, the middle of a basketball game, let's say. But, you know, I think there's, you know, what lessons would you want marketers and others in other industries to kind of take away from some of the stuff that you're doing in the sports area?
I think mostly just embrace sophistication, because it can make you a lot of money. I think from my experience, at least, you know, with a lot of even like really big brands in the US, the way they're wired is to basically push out a campaign, right? So they have this, you know, they have this campaign they've been doing, you know, they've done it for a while. It drives nice results for them, or they have this journey. They have their card abandonment journey. They have their win back journey. They have their welcome series. They got a few journeys and a few campaigns that they push out, but still the mindset is mindset of, I need to hit this revenue target, and I need to basically, you know, push this amount of emails out, this amount of push messages to drive my revenue goal.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, what it does, the marketing is not that creative. So you're not delighting customers to the fullest potential that you could, because you're not taking the time to study who they are, to, you know, and then to match, you know, their characteristics with messages, right? With engaging, you know, deep, you know, thoughtful messages.
Yeah.
It happens less outside of gaming. We still have, you know, amazing customers outside of gaming, you know, the likes of Staples and Sephora, they use us, and Staples are doing some really cool things, and Sephora will be, because we just got started. But I think this is the main thing. Just like, don't, you know, challenge the current status quo, do things more creatively, be more sophisticated, be deeper in the data. Your campaigns need to be something cool, something exciting, something you can tell somebody about, and they're going to be impressed. Just like the one I told about Steph Curry, right?
Yeah.
Things like,
yeah,
you know, that's the bar. And if you do that, there's a big reward. There's a lot of money on the table, but everybody's doing the same card abandonment, the same, you know, welcome series, the same weekly newsletter, the same, you know, life cycle campaigns, which are, it's boring. It's a little bit boring. That's what I would say.
I hope you're enjoying the first part of the show, and I want to invite you to check out another podcast from the Agile brand. It's called B2B Agility, and it's hosted by me, Greg Kilstrom. The B2B Agility Podcast looks at the factors that drive success in B2B marketing, with a focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make B2B brands stand out and thrive in a competitive marketplace. You can find B2B Agility on this podcast platform or wherever you normally listen. Before we get back to the show, I just wanted to remind you to hit the follow or subscribe button on your app to make sure you get notified when new episodes of this show are available. Now let's get back to the show. I wanted to talk a little more broadly about journey orchestration. And, you know, again, your platform Optimove, recognized by Gartner as the you know, number one platform in multi-channel marketing journey orchestration. So again, congrats on that. That recognition. I wanted to, you know, this is journey orchestration, something that I work with. I've worked with several platforms. What I've seen is there's, even though it's one label, there's a lot of ways to kind of approach it. So I'd love to have you kind of define what's Optimove's approach to journey orchestration.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So if you think about journey orchestration, I think, you know, first of all, the term itself could be a bit confusing. When we talk about it, you know, you can talk about it from a customer, you know, a plain business case study where, you know, I'm a customer of a bank, you know, I started a branch, I speak to a rep, then I go online, I file a form, you know, fill out a form, then I open my mobile app. You know, and I have this kind of a customer journey, right?
Yeah.
So to be clear, we're not talking about that, okay? it's important to make sure the audience understand. This is something when you get McKinsey or BCG to do some kind of a customer journey project for you, they'll do this, right? What I just said. And, you know, they're going to analyze it and say, hey, you know, we want to make sure that what the customer saw in the branch is going to resonate on the web and things like, fine, that's great. That's very important. We are talking about essentially a message journey, right? So it's basically, you know, a customer is going to get a sequence of messages from the brand. The messages can come across different channels like email, mobile, advertising platforms like Facebook or Google or TikTok or Snap. And SMS, WhatsApp is coming out now, things like that, right? So
yeah.
Usually those message journeys are built in some form of a journey builder. So if you look at all of the tools out there, you know, they have different names for the journey builder. I think Salesforce called it a journey builder, but there's many, many names. And typically it's a rule-based flowchart type of an interface. Yeah. That allows you to you know, to basically put customers in this flow. For example, you make a purchase and then you get an email. You wait for 2 days. If you open the email, you're gonna get another message. If you did not, you're gonna get an SMS. So there's a marketer that will ultimately architect or blueprint that type of a rule-based journey to basically fit the customer into something that the marketer has planned.
Yeah.
So 15 years ago, that's really cool. Or right. 10 years ago, that's really cool. That's when it got started. At the time, you didn't have a lot of data points. You knew a lot less about your customers. There wasn't that many channels to talk to the customers to. So that type of rule-based message journey was pretty cool, right? It worked pretty well. And you know, marketers could go into a meeting room. They would show it to their execs. Like, here's what we're doing with our new customers. Like, this is the messages they're getting. And everybody was impressed, and that's great. The problem is that life is a bit more complex than that. And to match or meet customers where they're at, you need to have something more sophisticated to match the complexity. As an example, while you, Mr. Marketer, put me, Pini, the customer, on this specific journey, something else happened to me. If, for example, I had a really bad experience with the brand and I called your call center 7 times and I had one call that lasted 40 minutes. But you were still telling me, hey, how was the, you know,
right.
How was your first purchase? Did you like it? We know that this one will make you happy. And hey, just spend 40 minutes being really mad at something and you're telling me something which is completely the opposite. So why is that happening? Because the marketer in a rule-based environment, the marketer always needs to think about more splits and more things that could happen to this specific customer. And that's just not realistic, right? The marketer is not able to think about every possible scenario and you know, kind of like, you know, play them off one another. It's pretty difficult. So we think about this problem I'll pause here and ask if this makes sense to you, Greg.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so, you know, what I'm hearing, and this is certainly what I've experienced in my own consulting work, is, you know, there's a difference between, let's call it marketing driven journey orchestration and customer driven journey orchestration, right? And I think you're, you know, the marketer that either thinks they know what all the steps are going to be or hopes that they know, you know, they're hoping for the best. They're hoping that there aren't any edge cases or anything like that. That was really the first iteration of all that. It's really just kind of a build out of marketing automation, maybe on a single channel, right? But I think what you're talking about is kind of that next step, which is a little more customer driven. Is that right?
Yeah, 100%. So to make it more customer driven, we're basically, we need to kind of like to allow each customer to plot their own path, right? Yeah. So the way we think about this problem, we're saying, okay, great. And OptiMove also contains in our platform, we do have a journey builder as well. We call it the stream builder, that's how we call it. So we do allow marketers to use that technique. But what we're saying, while they're doing that, we're taking kind of like a little bit like an air traffic control type of a view to the whole problem. And we're saying, you know, imagine your campaign layout or your marketing program with all the campaigns and all the interactions, all the messages you intend to run in the current week. Think about that like an airport. And, you know, you got multiple flights coming in and out. You got specific lanes that you need to fill. And you need air traffic control to basically, you know, sync and manage and orchestrate all of that thing, right? So it's kind of like in sports, maybe like the quarterbacks, right? Yeah. So like the Mahomes of your marketing. And with that, the way we think about it is we're saying, okay, the marketer is gonna pitch and build many interactions, many campaigns. And those will there's going to be a message from the welcome journey. There's going to be a message about a new product coming in. There's going to be a message about, hey, maybe Mr. Customer, we're about to lose you. So kind of like a churn prevention type of a message. There's going to be a message about your birthday. There's multiple message all the time. And those messages are basically, each one of them has a list of eligibility. So you got customers who are actually eligible to receive this message, but the individual client can be eligible to a few different things on a given day.
Yeah.
And the way we solve the problem, now we're going to use AI, and so this is our air traffic control. We're going to say out of the five messages that Pini is eligible for today, which subset is he going to see? Am I going to choose just one of the five? So in the example we gave before, Pini should get the message from the call center, right? Saying, hey, we understand something happened. You know, we apologize. You know, the manager is going to call you tomorrow to learn more. So that's what we want to say. We don't want to say, hey, here's a new thing you should buy after you're super pissed, right?
Right.
So in the AI would pick up on that and would choose the best message for every customer every time. So from rule-based marketing, you're moving into what we call AI-mapped journeys. And that's essentially how we think about it. When you do it like that, and you take a global view of all the campaigns that actually want to run, and you basically let the campaigns fight for the customer, right? So each campaign or all the campaigns together, they're basically competing and the AI would look at the historical data and say what works better for who, and would choose the best thing for every customer every time.
Yeah. And certainly I think that's the best possible approach, because again, it's customer centered. It's not someone just making a, obviously some assumptions always have to be made at certain steps in the process, but it's really kind of, it's letting the customer guide that. What does that look like from, you know, from your customer's standpoint? You know, are they, I would imagine that's a, a bit of a change to, you know, you've got these siloed channel teams and this campaign centric kind of way of thinking. You know, what's maybe one or two of the biggest learnings that customers have as they kind of onboard into this new approach?
I think, you know, one of the, first of all, they're able to be more free and focused on being creative.
Yeah.
Versus focus on thinking of system limitations and all the admin that needs to go into producing those campaigns, right? Because when you're running in a rule-based system, then you need to make sure that there's no overlaps. You need to make sure that that the segments that you're building are essentially mutually exclusive, because if they crossfire, you're sending multiple messages. Many people do that as well, right? But then it's really bad. So you're constantly thinking of how you make sure that in this, you know, complex environment, you're not creating any damage, because you don't have an air traffic control, you don't have a master orchestrator, you don't have a quarterback. So you're trying to focus on that and seeing in the data, making sure, so then you end up doing less things, and the things you're doing are less creative and less interesting. When you kind of allow the AI to take that part, and you feel free to push in as many ideas that you have into the platform. So don't worry about it. Just, you thought about something cool in while taking a shower yesterday. Great. You know, go to the office the next day, you know, build the, you know, the segment, the customers that match this, you know, come up with the creative, you know, do it really quickly. The time from ideation to execution goes down. And just push it into the system. Now you trust the system to prioritize this against everything else that's going on for different customers and start to get results, right? So this campaign is now competing. It's competing against the others. And if it's good, it's going to start to shine. If not, it's going to see less and less customers. And ultimately, you may get a recommendation from our AI to just remove it altogether.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Pini, thanks so much for joining. One last question before we wrap up here. So, you know, for those listening that either new to journey orchestration or maybe considering taking some bigger steps here, what's your recommendation of maybe a first or a next step to get things going?
I think first you need to really have the curiosity and the hunger to do things a bit differently than you're doing it today, right? So if you're now, as I said at the beginning, you know, if you're, you know, campaign centric, you're mostly pushing out promotions to customers, it's mostly kind of like coming in from a merchandising angle and not from a customer lifetime value angle. But somebody told you that there's a new technology that you need to check out, but you're not going to change your philosophy, then it's going to be a mismatch.
Yeah.
I think first of all, you know, you need to say, okay, I understand where I'm at today. I'm ready to graduate and move on to the next phase. Within that next phase, there's going to be maybe, you know, a new technology. Maybe I'm going to change my org structure a little bit. You know, maybe the email team and the mobile team will become one. Maybe I'm going to have one global CRM marketing team instead of teams by channels. And maybe I'm going to teach my people to look at data a little bit. This is how I would think about it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, again, I'd like to thank Pini Yakwal, CEO and founder of Optimove, for joining the show. You can learn more about Pini and Optimove by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GREGKILSTROM.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile brand guides covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kilstrom on Amazon. The Agile brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile Brand.